Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast on a Monday nearing 12:30. Michigan State, Michigan bowl games will be part of the topics today. We'll talk early season college basketball thus far for both the Spartans and the Wolverines. Michigan's looked really good at times. Obviously, they had their tough loss to Louisville last week. And Michigan State, you know, then up and down, big win at Seton Hall, probably the only game that we can look at where they played a good opponent in one. And we got a lot to cover with them in basketball, both schools. I'm going to talk about football first. And I want to talk Michigan State first. And I think it's real important for when people hear this, they say to themselves, well, this is just Jeremy, the Michigan fan, talking. And if you want to say it that way, go ahead. If you want to think realistically and you want to be honest and you really want to say, I want to change in this program, you're really going to love what I say. But again, if you want to just sit there and say, this is just the guy who likes Michigan, that's why he's saying this, you're not understanding that I've seen it on the Michigan side, guys. I've seen a program do really well for an extended period of time, win the Big Ten. And I know people hate history, but guess what? History usually repeats itself. Michigan, when they went with Lloyd Carr, and everyone thought it wasn't good enough, and which I thought was ridiculous. And then we seen the program fall flat on its face. We are seeing that happen to Michigan State. The scary part is it's the same coach you have. That's the scary part for Michigan State football. And you have to look at it and say, this is something's going on here. Programs generally don't do as well as Michigan State has done, like they did in that stretch where I could say, 2010 to 2015, maybe 2011, I guess, would be maybe more accurate. You don't have a run after a few okay years like Mark had, and then just fall flat on your face. It just doesn't happen typically. You look at Dabo Sweeney, it took him a few years to get rolling, and they're just rolling now. Recruits want to go there. They realize they got something that's magical, and it just gets better, or it stays the same. You usually don't fall on your face, though. And this program at Michigan State football has fell flat on their face. I mean, you can't not say that. After 2015, you look at what they've accomplished. In 16, they go 3-9. In 17, 9-3. Last year, 7-6. This year, 6-6. I mean, come on, guys. After a while, you got to look in the mirror and say, something's going on with this program. And I have things that have happened that will tell you, okay, this is a bad trend. We got to change the trend. We all know about the coaches. We know that. We know that they've kept the same offensive staff. They just moved some pieces around, but then they have Brad Salem, the new coordinator, who I thought did actually a pretty good job. It's bigger than that, though. It's the recruiting. Why on earth are they not recruiting better? Or why didn't they recruit better when they were winning? I mean, when you win football games, and if you look at the players Michigan State had, and Urban Meyer had a great point. I do not like Urban Meyer. I can't stand looking at him on the television, but he made a great point was when you played Michigan State in 2015 and then a couple years before that, they had NFL players. You knew they had NFL players. They found great kids, and they really developed those kids. So I beg to ask the question, are they not developing the kids very well, or are they just not getting good kids? If they're not doing either, that's a problem. If you're doing both, you're done. And I think they're doing both. I think you're not getting good enough kids, and I think you're not developing kids who are already left. I really believe that's where Michigan State is. And look, I had a great conversation with an Ohio State guy yesterday. I'm going down the list of all these guys from Ohio State who are breakout players. Ohio State is completely cleaned up with certain players in the South. J.K. Dobbins from Texas. Justin Fields, the grad transfer from Georgia. They pretty much every one of their skill guys, except for Chris Olave, is a Southern player that is in Texas, Florida, or Georgia. Those are prime football areas. You got to get great kids from those areas, and they're coming all the way to Ohio. They want to play for the Ohio State. They understand the success of that program. They understand the brand of that program. They want to play for that program. Michigan State was beating that program. Now, why are they not getting kids close to that level? There's a problem there. There's a problem, and I mean, is Ohio State, is the campus that much cooler than Michigan State? I'd argue East Lansing, the campus for Michigan State, is much better. Why are they not getting kids to go to their school as much as other schools? I think we obviously know the simple fact is Ohio State's a big-time football program. We know that. I mean, I'm not saying why is Ohio State out-recruiting Michigan State. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying why is there such a gap, and why are the players not performing better? If it's not good enough players, you got a major problem. And Tyler's with me now. We'll jump into the bowl game. And I know Tyler hates the program thing, but Tyler, what I'm talking about is very, very important because I'm getting tired of everybody dodging it. We know Martin needs to make decisions. But before we get into the bowl game, I want your opinion on this because I think this is huge. Is it they're not good enough players, or is it the assistant coaching staff not developing the players they have better? Because there's no way when you're in the college football playoff in 2015, you should be this bad. There's no way. You should not fall off. So you tell me, Tyler, you're the Spartan. You tell Spartan fans, what's the problem? Why is this program 6-6? Is it the players aren't good enough and they need to recruit better, or is it the coaching not developing it enough?
I think it's a little bit of both. Obviously, the coaching, you know, we've talked about the changes, and so I'm not going to go back into that again. You know, the changes that I feel like Mark D'Antonio needs to make, there are guys on the staff who do need to go. I think one guy who should absolutely unequivocally, two guys are legitimately safe as far as I'm concerned. Everybody else is fair game. Ron Burton and Brad Salem are safe. That's the way it should be. Everybody else is fair game. But, you know, a lot of this, you know, I think it has to go back to 2016. And, you know, there were sacrifices that were made as far as the character guys that Mark D'Antonio recruited to build the program to where it was. After that, Mark D'Antonio realized, look, there is not a chance. There's not a chance that Michigan State can compete with Alabama if they keep recruiting the way that they did. They can stay a top 10 program if they kept recruiting like that, but there was not a chance that they can move beyond that. Mark D'Antonio was trying to win the championship, and so they made some sacrifices as far as kids' character, as far as their integrity, and as far as their attitude in regard to certain things, and it came back and it bit Mark D'Antonio in the butt. People wanted Mark D'Antonio to start making changes so they could compete with Alabama. He did that, and he got bit in the butt, and that's why listening to fans is not the greatest idea. Right now, the 2016 class, given the injuries that Michigan State suffered last season, given what transpired this season, they would have been the leaders of this team. It was a very talented recruiting class. Right now you take a look at it. How many guys from that class are still on the roster? Five.
That's incredible.
And a lot of it is character issues. We know what your opinion on Joe Bocci is. Bocci is one of those guys.
That
I'm saying he has. Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying his is a character issue, but they're, you know, along with some other things, all of that plays into how this kind of transpired. Now, I'm not saying, look, once we get past where we don't need to worry about 2016, and we can put that recruiting class in our rear view along with everything else, that Michigan State's going to just jump back into being the top 10 program. It's not. In fact, next year, when the 2016 class would all be seniors and things like that, next year's going to suck for Michigan State.
But you hit it right in the head.
And it's going to blow. But the year after that, look, you'll have those guys develop. You're going to have a little bit more consistency in the program. And I think that ultimately, you know, the year after that, you should go back to being a pretty good football program. But the problem is...
Yeah, no, I want to say this.
Big gamble, and it bit you in the butt.
Sure. No, Tyler, I'm very good reminder. I think that, I mean, obviously, you know, me and Tyler, we have these conversations before the show. We prep a lot more than you guys would think. We have funny, you know, funny lines and laughs, of course. And of course, we don't always agree. That's a great reminder for people, because that was a huge reminder for myself. You so quickly forget in recruiting what happened at Michigan State with a really good 2016 class. And you find out, you go, wow, this is what kills programs. And these are the decisions that these coaches have to make. And here's the thing. Michigan State was winning with three-star guys. But here's the problem. They were great football players. They were just really, really developed. And I think what happens is when you pass on those kids and then you go for the big dogs and they don't work out, well, you just passed up on kids who are probably going somewhere else and probably being developed and probably becoming good football players. I mean, I would think that here's a steal. Here's an example. Michigan has really developed Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell is a kid that nobody knew about, nobody wanted, not a big-name school at least. This is a basketball kid. Has really turned out to be a fantastic football player. He's been developed well. He had a good year last year. I think he's really taken Josh Gattis, his teachings well. God, Josh Gattis is a great wide receiver coach. I don't know if he's a fantastic or great coordinator. I think he's a good coordinator. He really has those receivers playing well. But in recruiting, because these bowl games, I'm just going to say it, guys. I know Tyler might not like it. I think these bowl games are going to be a joke for both schools. I think Michigan's going to get killed, and I think nobody really wants to watch Michigan State play Wake Forest. I almost said Rutgers because that's basically how I feel about that game. I'll watch it. Tyler will watch it. People who care will watch it, but not many people do. So when we talk about recruiting and stuff, this is usually why, is because we're not there yet, and it's frustrating. I think, Tyler, with what Michigan State has, this is the last thing I'd say, and we'll get into the bowl game. I think what Michigan State has on their campus, what they have with facilities, I think it's an absolute joke that this team is not always at the top. So there's going to be people who care like myself. Even though I'm not a Michigan State guy, I know what that university provides. I know what the facilities are. I know how successful they've been. And I know that kids should want to go there. They shouldn't want to go to Nebraska over Michigan State. They shouldn't want to go always to Penn State over Michigan State. What do they provide more than Michigan State? Nothing. Nothing. So that's when it comes down to, what are we as a program? Three-star kids, may develop them. Well, they're not developing good enough. New coaches come in. Tyler's already said that. So that's what you do. But I really want to see some changes, because I think this program still is a very important program. I think it can be really, really good or elite again. And I want to see it happen. I want to see that competition that we've had in basketball with Michigan, Michigan State. I want to see that in football, where both of our schools are right there.
Yeah, and one more thing. You know, we've talked about the spending differences too, and Bill Beekman needs to find a way to get the endorsement of Mark D'Antonio, which ultimately, like I said, that 2016 class bit him in the butt because people wanted more from him, and now you've got to go out and you've got to find people who are willing to shell out money for the football program in order to make the same, like I said a couple weeks ago, you know, Michigan outspent Michigan State by twice as much. There's your difference right there. And Penn State outspends Michigan State in that aspect. Nebraska outspends Michigan State in that aspect. And so that's the situation where, you know, you've got to rectify that as well. If you can rectify that and at the same time let D'Antonio get the kids that he wants, if you can do those types of things, Michigan State will be right up where they were, if not better, you know, pending the longevity of the rest of Mark D'Antonio's career. But, some of that is going to hinge on, you know, what happens a couple days after Christmas.
No, you're absolutely right. We'll talk about that now. I want to jump Michigan to Bama first. I think it's really interesting, and then we'll dive into Michigan State.
I feel like somebody called Alabama Michigan like a month ago. I'm trying to remember who that was.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you've lost your mind, and so has everyone else. I think you must really like let me just keep my thoughts to myself. Anyway, you must like beatdowns. I'll say it nicely. I just think that this is, how do I put this? This is hard for me to even describe. We all know it's a moneymaker. We get that part. That's easy. I don't think Michigan earns the right to play Alabama when you lose three games in the Big Ten Conference. A conference, in my opinion, and I've made it very clear in the last few weeks, I think the SEC is a much better conference than the Big Ten. I just do. I mean, when you watch the games like I have, the eye test matters. My point is there's just no way this Michigan team can compete with Alabama. They're not better at any position. Quarterback, maybe, but I would argue that we'll find out if Shea Patterson is really that good when he has the red and white all over his face. This is a mismatch. This is a physical mismatch. This is a talent mismatch. This is a talent gap. The same problems that Michigan State are having with recruiting to keep up, Michigan's having the same to compete with Ohio State, the Alabamas, the Clemson. You have to do something outrageous to compete at this level. I think this game is going to be over by halftime. I truly do. I think that it, you know, I can see them being down three touchdowns at half. I think it will be closer. I think Saban, as much as he would love to kill Michigan, I think he'll actually be nicer. And he has been known to kind of take the dogs off. He's also been known not to. But I just don't find any interest to this game, Tyler. I mean, as much as people are excited about it, I definitely don't want to spend no money on it. I definitely don't want to fly out to Florida and waste my money. But let's talk about the game. What the hell? I just don't see one reason why Michigan could win. I've literally not heard one person tell me something and go, oh, yeah, that's why we'll beat them. Can you find one? I can't.
No, I really don't think there is one, with or without Tua. It's just, like you said, it's a physical mismatch. And it's weird because the last time I felt this sure, you know, about, obviously Ohio State is just an annual exception, but the last time I felt this sure about a Michigan non-conference game was, you know, I thought Notre Dame was just going to be able to dominate Michigan up front on both sides of the ball. I feel a little bit more sure now. I think that you hit it right on the head. It's just a complete physical mismatch. It's something where, you know, we saw Ohio State's problems in some aspect against Michigan and against Wisconsin in regards to the strength of Ohio State's defensive line and the speed of the linebackers. And right now, I mean, Alabama's obviously going to be stronger than Ohio State was. They're going to be stronger than what Wisconsin was. They're going to be faster. They're going to be a billion times faster than what Wisconsin was. And it's just it's a really bad mismatch. I said this was going to happen a month ago. You know, and after Alabama lost to Auburn, it became a little more clear that was going to be the case. It is a brand name game, and ultimately that's all you're really asking for when you get down to, you know, the fourth team in the Big Ten. And, you know, you're trying to do whatever you can to salvage that type of money, and that's ultimately what Michigan's doing. That's what Alabama's doing. You know, that's what the Bulls are doing, and, you know, they're going to get what they can out of it. And, you know, as far as names go, it's a great game. It's going to bring in a ton of money. It's probably going to bring in more than a New Year's Six Bowl here or there, with the exception obviously being the playoff. But the game itself is not going to be nearly as pretty as the revenue that's going to be brought in.
Yeah, the one thing I will say that Michigan, if there is one thing that Michigan may be able to counter on is the injuries Alabama's had. They've got a lot of them. It's not just Tua. There's a list of guys who are not big time players like Tua, but they've been. Yeah, I mean, the Tua one's big, and honestly, if you look at their offense, if you really want to go by numbers, which I hate to do because I like the eye test, I'm more of a watch the game guy and go, ooh, that team looks better than the other, and that's why, even though Urban Meyer, who I don't like, does say a lot of things. The one thing he said that is wrong is the eye test shouldn't matter. It does matter. When you watch Ohio State play, you realize they're just better than everybody in the Big Ten. It's not even close. They're stronger. They're faster. They're more athletic. They have bigger play capability. There's not a comparison to them in that conference. right now, when I watch Alabama, they are big, strong, and fast. I know that. I know that when I look at their numbers, they are running the ball not as good as they usually do this year. You know, they're running it at a good level of 170 yards a game, but their passing game has been the big thing. Tua's been the guy, and that's what's made them dynamic. The problem with Michigan is they have is if you can't cover Ohio State, you're going to have a hard time covering Alabama too. So really all Alabama needs to do is just give that quarterback enough time, which I think they will because Michigan's undersized on the defensive front. And I think they'll have their way with the team. And that's my reasoning why I think they'll dominate Michigan. I think their offensive line will push them around. And I think Najee Harris is a great running back still, you know, over 1,000 yards this year. And I think that, you know, really the weakness for their team this year, you know how their running game has been, Tyler. I mean, it's been outstanding over the years. I mean, they've got Heisman Trophy runners. They always have two backs that seem to be running out of their mind. Brian Robinson Jr. is a stud. I mean, he's got almost 500 yards rushing this year, but Najee Harris is your guy, you know, with 1088 this year. If they get the running game going, it's going to be really bad. If Michigan can contain the run, just like Ohio State, like we talked about, maybe, just maybe, it's an okay game where we come down to the fourth quarter and it's not over yet. But if they get running, it's over. I mean, it's because Jerry Jeudy and that receiving group, I mean, good luck. Good luck trying to stop that. I mean, it's just not ideal. You know, they have too many weapons. They really do. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be pretty. There ain't much to talk about. They're bigger, stronger, faster, more talented, better recruits. And the one thing you could say is the injury of Tua could be maybe an issue, but I don't think it will. But let's jump into Spartan because I don't think we need to go crazy with Alabama-Michigan. You know, you mentioned it, Tyler. You think it's a big game for a lot of different reasons. Talk about them. I mean, I know that you have a few really good ones, and let's break it down.
Well, here's the thing. It's not a big game. But it could, you know, be damaging to Michigan State in some aspects, you know, like I kind of talked about earlier. You know, if you go out and you lose to a scrub team like Wake Forest, you've got some issues. And you cannot go out and you can't lose to a 6-6 team, let alone a 6-6 team in the ACC. And you know how I feel about that. I feel like of the Power 5 conferences and the two major revenue sports, you know, men's basketball and football, the ACC in football is easily the worst of the bunch. Clemson withstanding, of course. And so you can't go out and you can't lose to Wake Forest. But this game is just absolutely terrible. You know, I spoke with, you know, through the grapevine in some aspects, you know, through one of my friends who had a conversation with Bill Beekman, and he said that he was trying to get New York against Pitt. It was between New York or Detroit, though, ultimately. So what Bill Beekman decided to do, the athletic director at Michigan State, is he just said, oh, I want to go to New York. I want to go to New York. I'm really pushing for New York. And New York against Pitt would have been a good for, you know, television type matchup. But the problem is Michigan State does not travel as well as, you know, those schools that spend the money that we've talked about, you know, Penn State, Michigan, and things like that. Michigan State doesn't travel that well to the bowl games, and you're not going to travel that well when you're 6-6 and you had aspirations of a conference championship this season. You know, obviously, yeah. You didn't say what you want about the talent level, but, you know, everyone looked at that defense and they were like, oh, that's going to keep them in every game. And all of a sudden, that doesn't happen. And so you're definitely not going to travel there. You're not going to do it 2 days after Christmas. You're not going to do it when it's freezing cold outside in New York. And lo and behold, guess who's going to end up playing in Detroit? In Ford Field.
Yeah, oh,
of course. Michigan State. It's going to be Pitt. Bill Beekman.
It could be Yeah, that would have been a great matchup, and I think it also would have been, it would have been great.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill Beekman, you're a moron.
He screwed the pooch on this one. He was so desperate to try to get out to New York. Now, don't get it twisted because, look, these kids want to go to New York. The players themselves want to go to New York. That's the one thing that I can maybe think of is he's trying to throw a little bit towards them. Because when you get an opportunity to go bowling or you know, you get to play in the NCAA tournament and things like that, you want to go to the best place possible. You don't want to go an hour and a half down the road. You don't want to go to Detroit. You'd rather go to New York. You'd rather live it up a little bit for a couple of days before your game. You'd rather go to a city like that. And so it's cool for the players.
Well,
it was
a train wreck decision.
But as far as the money that you're going to bring in, the attendance or lack thereof in New York outside 2 days after Christmas when you could have been playing, you know, close to home, you could have had a home game, Narduzzi versus D'Antonio. It just absolutely awful decision. And if Michigan State goes out, if Michigan State went out and lost to Pitt, you know, I think everybody would just kind of have the same standard mentality for this Michigan State program as to what they need to do to get better.
Yeah.
Michigan State goes out and
this is a train wreck decision. This is an absolute train wreck decision. Bill Beekman's a moron. I'm sorry, but let me just intervene. Bill Beekman's a moron.
Terrible.
It's a horrible decision. And, you know, your friend, you know, we both know him, probably feels the same way. And I'll just say
it's a high risk, low reward situation, other than the fact it's cool for the kids. But
absolutely no question about it.
And as much as the kids make the program, look, the fans and the pressure from something as big as a top 25 program all time in NCAA history, which Michigan State is, and people don't really take that into consideration. A loss to Wake Forest with the pressure that D'Antonio is already feeling from the outside. Bill Beekman is fringing upon, you know, like I said, I don't know how long D'Antonio is going to be around, if he's around for 2 years and can rebuild the program also. But Bill Beekman is, you know, the end of Mark D'Antonio's career away from making his first really, really big decision. This is not a good omen, and if Michigan State goes out and loses, there's going to be even more pressure on both Beekman and D'Antonio, and it's just awful in that aspect.
It's ridiculous.
So when I said it's a big game, that's what I meant. Michigan State needs to go out there, and they need to win this game by double digits, or else all hell's going to break loose.
Well, you know, it just typical Spartan football BS. This is an opportunity to be in Detroit where actually people will show up. And I think that there would be a lot of Spartan fans that would show up. It's right down the road. I mean, what are you going to do? It's the day after Christmas. Hey, let's go down to Ford Field and hang out in Detroit. I mean, you know, New York's cool and all, but flying all the way to New York and watch Wake Forest and football, no. And even watching the game on TV, no. Watching TV, Narduzzi, former coach of Michigan State? Yeah, kind of. There's at least a storyline. There's at least something there that people would be excited about. Bill Beekman, what are you doing? You don't deserve the position you have. You don't deserve to make the money you have. And guess what? Your football program needs some fire. And you know what? It doesn't matter where it comes from. If it comes from playing Pitt, which I know doesn't seem exciting, but that guy coached at Michigan State. It's a hype thing. I guess he doesn't have any experience in sales and marketing. All you got to do is look down the road at Michigan. They've got plenty of experience in sales and marketing. Look how much they've hyped up Harbaugh for 5 years. I mean, it's all about money, and goofballs still go to the stadium and believe in it. That's what it's about. It's sales. It's sales. It's marketing. Do what's right. Pump your program up. Still make a storyline. Make your program relevant. And Bill Beekman, you failed. As Trump would say, fired. Fired Beekman. But anyway, I want to jump into basketball before we get, you know, not enough time. But I think that's ridiculous. I think Tyler's right. I think your friend's right. And I'm just blown away by the incompetent job that Bill Beekman's doing in that end. I mean, come on. That's unbelievable. Let's talk about something positive, though, and it's basketball. My goodness. You know, Michigan State, obviously, they're still a very good team. We know that. But let's talk about some things, Tyler. I mean, we know it's been a struggle. You know, we got 15 minutes. Let's talk some hoops here. I mean, it's been, I don't know. I think Izzo does this. Izzo tinkers with lineups. We know that. I know we're frustrated with them losing some games, but Rutgers always plays them tough, and they did last night. Michigan State shot terrible from the three. They were wide open the whole game. They just didn't hit shots. They should have had 100 points last night. But Cassius Winston was fantastic, but let's just talk about it. I mean, let's just talk about last night's game. What you saw that was good and what you saw that you were not happy with.
You know, first things first, obviously, what I thought that was good, our trouble with snap player of the week. You know, Cassius Winston, 23-7. Had a couple turnovers, and that's the thing is I feel like over the past couple of games, he's felt like he's had to do a lot more because he realizes that this team's only as good as Cassius Winston makes them. You know, obviously there's a great level to this team. I think it comes a little bit more with the aggressiveness of Xavier Tillman and finding your best rotation as far as do you want to pair Kithier with Bingham? Do you want to pair Hall with Tillman, Kithier with Tillman, however you want to do it. One thing we did not see Bingham and Hall last night, so I think Izzo kind of cut the rotation down in that aspect. You know, you've been wanting to play Lawyer off the ball, so you've been running Watts at point. But, you know, Watts is out. Now you don't have a point guard. You don't have a backup point guard, so you got to put Lawyer in there. And in closer games, he's not really that threat, especially the threat that Cassius Winston is. But Aaron Henry was pressing a little bit, and he had some really bad turnovers. He had 11 points, and so at least he was assertive in that aspect. But he's heard the grumbles in regards to his play from the outside, and he knows that he needs to step up and he needs to be that third star. And he's not responding well to it at all. And I feel like he's regressed a ton defensively. He was such a lockdown defender in the second half of last season. And he's not doing that well either. And, you know, we kind of pointed to the offensive load. Well, you know what, you take two shots against Duke, you better be able to shut somebody down. And he wasn't able to do that. And I feel like this is a really big problem for Michigan State. I think it's also an easily fixable problem for Michigan State.
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing I want to touch on is going back to what I had mentioned, you know, when we're prepping shows. The easy way to think is when you watch them play Rutgers, the emotional side of you goes, we're not playing well. Tom Izzo said something very interesting last night, and once you really calculate all the things he said and then you watch the game, you put it all together and go, oh, okay, bingo, that's what it is. They haven't practiced much. They haven't had enough practice. Then you get injuries. Then you're really, really trying to learn on the fly. Tom Izzo said, hey, we've been taking all these trips. We've been traveling, and this is what Michigan State always does. They need practice. They need to be able to sit down and get better every week in practice. They need to figure out who they really want to have in certain rotation parts, whether that's at the four, whether that's what we're going to do at point guard if Rocket's not playing, et cetera. I think you're absolutely right about Aaron Henry, but I think it's just a new job. You know, it's a new position where he's not used to being this guy. He's used to floating around, getting easier baskets. Now he's got the ball more. He's expected to create. I think he will be all right. He actually shoots the ball pretty well from three, and the more I watch him, I think he hits some tough threes. He's just not accustomed to really being that scorer. And it's just what you're going to see a struggle. I mean, I compare it to football. What did I say to you?
Let me ask you this really quick. Aaron Henry can still technically be that third star without being that third scorer.
Sure.
You know,
well, I think Gabe Brown needs to be the third scorer. I think Gabe Brown is a better scorer than Aaron Henry.
I think anybody knows the game knows that. Yeah. Do you start referring to Gabe Brown as your third scorer, but still have Aaron Henry be the third star? You can still be the third star without being the guy who gets all the points. And obviously there's going to be a little bit of discrepancy as far as the points go to the comparison that I'm going to make. But, okay, so who was the third star on the 1997 Bulls?
Well, I mean, we all know it was Rappin.
Exactly.
That's obvious.
Well, who was the third scorer?
I think it was probably Kukoc, you know. It was Harper, maybe. Ron Harper, Scotty and Jordan, 1-2.
It was Harper
Kukoc.
It was Harper or Kukoc, yeah. And so you have those,
Luke Longley.
You don't need. Let's not push it. So you have
Bill Wennington.
The ability
on, sorry.
to still, you know, impact the game in other ways, and I want to see Aaron Henry do that more defensively, and he can still get 10 points a game when he's, you know, demoted more or less to that fourth option, which he would be when Gabe Brown becomes number three. And I think it's – I think – look, you know how high I am on Gabe Brown, a 6'7 wing who has turned into the best perimeter defender on the team, who can just absolutely stroke from outside and was probably two fouls away from putting together quite the card collection off some putbacks. Like, this guy can do a lot more than people thought he could. People just thought he could sit in the corner and shoot threes. He can do a lot more than people think, and I think it would be a fantastic idea to put more of the offensive focus on Brown and let Aaron Henry just play the way Aaron Henry's capable of. Because obviously Henry's improved,
yes.
especially as far as the shooter goes compared to last season, but he's not ready to take on that role. I think Brown is. And I think Henry can still turn into a superstar if he just lets the game come to him a little more.
Yeah, I think when, you know, I always do this because, you know, we're all couch coaches, I guess, because guess what? We're not on the sidelines. I would like to think that it's a very comfortable couch, and I have no problem telling you how I feel because I feel like with experience I learned a thing or two, I guess. The one thing that you always say when you watch a team, you go, well, obviously the coach is putting him in certain positions because they've seen a few things. Right now, the way they play Gabe Brown is he's their best spot-up shooter. He just is right now. He's the guy they trust the most to sitting in the corner, spotting up, and hitting shots. Now you get to the point where you say, we got to find a way to get him more shots. Where, hey, they're not helping off. He's just standing there, but someone's on him. We got to have him come off screens more. We got to get him open. Is he good enough to move without the ball? Is he also good enough to create off the dribble? I mean, honestly, I've mentioned this multiple times, Tyler. I watched how the guy trained this year in the offseason. The guy he trained with, the ball was, it was like a dribble circus show the whole time. He basically trained, and he actually looks pretty good with his handle. That's how he trained all offseason. He trained with his handle, and I knew it was going to be bad training because Tom isn't going to allow that. But here's the cool part. Maybe Tom will allow it and will allow him to take, you know, be more of Aaron Henry. Come down, hey, one-on-one, make a move. You got a big guy on you. Maybe playing Gabe Brown at the four, going back to that, isn't a bad thing where he can pick and pop. And he's got a bigger guy on him. I know he's thinner, but, hey, there's options there. That's my point. I want to touch on something one more time that we talked about earlier, and I mentioned it to you earlier, Tyler. I want your input on this. Because you might have more inside info. The key guy is still Langford. Is he coming back? I mean, I haven't heard much. I know you probably know a little bit more than I do. I keep going, is he done for the year, or is this still a January thing? What's going on there?
Well, he's going to be re-evaluated in late January. Izzo didn't sound optimistic, though, when he was talking about it. I don't really have too much more info. And you, I mean, we talked about this. I thought from the beginning of the year he was done. I feel like an injury that takes that long, you know, you just chalk it up as, you know, a learning experience, and hopefully Langford can do something else with basketball or at least go overseas at some point and, you know, just.
Well, he can still come back and play, right? I mean, he can get that redshirt, right?
Langford said that's not something that he wants to do. He spent 4 years at Michigan State. He's ready to move on. Hopefully that involves playing in late January or February and early February. And, you know, like I said, all he needs to do is give Michigan State a few points because Michigan State defensively is still a really good team. Obviously they have their issues with Vernon Carey. And I think some of that had to do with perimeter defense.
He really
said
he doesn't want to come back. He really said that? Why would he not want to come back? That's crazy talk.
Yeah. And
like, what are you going to do? You have nothing to prove. You have nothing to go back on this year to say, hey, I should play overseas. Why? You didn't play this year. Doesn't make sense.
Right,
you know, like, why would any scout
year,
or team pick him up?
Really good, averaging 14, 16 points a game, whatever it was. And so, I'm as shocked as you are with this, but I think that if he does come back, Michigan State doesn't need what they got from him last year before he went down with the injury. They don't need that anymore. Brown has proven to be more than enough of a sufficient scorer. You know, Aaron Henry, you know, like I said, bumping him back, demoting him offensively a little bit, which just makes things so much easier for him too. And so if Langford's able to come back, you're looking at a completely different team. The focus still would not be on Langford. But when you're running pick and roll, Tillman to Winston, and you have Henry, Brown, and Langford on the outside.
And it's dangerous.
That's
well,
really
I just don't understand.
I know that Langford's only going to be a shell of himself. But if, like I said, if he can just sit in the corner, hit two threes, and then, you know, get one layup where he drives to the hole, or, just pump fakes and hit his patented mid-range shot that he loves, you know, you get 8 points from Langford like that, you're good. You're set.
Yeah, no question.
He's still going to put in that effort, and he's going to come back with a lot to prove if he comes back. I don't think he is.
Well, I think...
But I think Michigan State has options available should Watts finally improve to the point that, let's say, 1/100th of what you were expecting from him. You know, this team is a completely different team. But right now they realize what Gabe Brown is, and they set up the very first play for him to shoot an open three, and I think they're starting to realize that he needs to be the third option.
No, I think they'll find out more, you know, as he continues to hit shots. You know, they didn't shoot well last night, but he does hit threes. He is a slashing player. He's very athletic. He can get above the rim. So, yeah, I mean, I think you'll see more of that. I mean, Cassius was outstanding last night, though, as much as the turnovers were not himself in that area where he just kind of got a little loose with the ball. But I think some of it wasn't all his fault either. You know, he's leading the break and he's throwing it and guys aren't running and getting it. That's not all him. A couple of turnovers were just uncharacteristic. But when you score 23, you hit big shots in timely manner all the time, and you have 23.7 assists, you know, I think he had four or five steals. I know he had three in the first half. He's just a fantastic player. He's a lot of fun to watch.
And what did Jay,
he's a reason
what did Jay
why.
Bilas say the other day? He said something like, Jay Bilas wants hockey assists, more or less, to be a part of basketball.
Sure.
I've not
Gretzky
seen
yet.
Anybody
get them
like Cassius Winston does.
No, yeah. I love that you called him Bilas because I don't like him. So I think the biggest thing, the Gretzky pass, we learned it at Western Michigan. I mean, you know, hey, swing it once, swing it twice. You know, that first swing should be an assist. Yeah, and I think they keep track of it at some schools. I know our coaches really talked about it at Western Michigan a lot. It was something that you took pride in to move it quick because you knew you were setting up the assist. That's what they always say, set up the assist. And, yeah, it's the hockey stat. It's awesome. He's fantastic at it, and I think there's a lot of guys that are really good at it. You know, Rutgers had a play where the announcers went crazy because they had a Gretzky pass, you know, swing it. I mean, it's big, and Cassius is just great all around. He's good at the regular assist too. About to break Mateen Cleese's record, for God's sake. So he doesn't need the Gretzky assist. He's pretty much got the regular assist. But I'm excited still. I mean, hey, it's early. We're not going to get with Michigan much. We'll talk more about them after Illinois. I think that's going to be a really, really big, interesting game. I think Illinois is really tough. So we'll talk more about them. Obviously, they're 8-1. They start off well, though, but you just don't know. I think that North Carolina win now means less because North Carolina now just looks really bad, and they've got a lot of holes to fill. So, you know, we'll touch more on both schools, but, hey, it's a long season. Bear with us. We'll talk more bowl game stuff probably in the next few weeks, but really concentrate more on basketball. But, hey, we appreciate you guys tuning in. For Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. Thanks again. Hey, Trouble with the Snap Podcast, go on Facebook, please. Like, share, comment, be a part of the show. We love this show, all about Michigan State. But hey, thanks for tuning in. Again, Troubled Snap Podcast.